Hey, it's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
And this is this has to be the furthest distance that we've done this podcast from each other.
Oh, 100%. Because we've got some that we've been 3,000 miles, but right now we are seven?
I don't know. We are 8 hours time difference away from each other right now.
Ooh, lordy.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'm in Scotland. I'm here for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I'm producing a show called Voldemort and the Teenage Hogwarts musical parody. If you get, if you're in Scotland, which I can confirm we have had zero listeners from.
Okay. But
you never know when it starts.
That's true.
Please come see us. We're every day at 5 o'clock at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I hear the show's real good.
The show's real good. It's doing real well. I'm all excited, but it's two things. It's very hard with an 8 hour time difference to find amenable times to do a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because there's so much busy stuff going on. There's just random busyness that you have to deal with. So, you never know what pops up.
And I've had a really hard time keeping up with NBA news because I've had intermittent Wi-Fi. And the flat that I'm staying in, that's what we call apartments over here, just got Wi-Fi yesterday.
Oh.
And I've been here since July 26th or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, the date is August 10th.
Yes. Yeah, we made it the 10th. And, we've got some relatively recent news based on how far along or how long this process took to come to completion. Because on our last podcast, if you remember, I said that Carmelo had already signed with the Houston Rockets. And I was very wrong. I was incredibly wrong.
I was so out of touch with NBA news for a couple of days that I was like, he must have signed by now, right? And then I checked a couple of days ago, I checked at some later point where I was like, oh, for sure, it's done. And it still wasn't done.
No, it took forever. And, good on them for waiting. I guess there's no hurry. I mean, when you're signing your 12th best player, why do you have to hurry to do that?
I would argue 13th best player.
They've only got 12 guys on the roster.
But there's probably some assistant coach that could go in that's better.
Poor Carmelo.
Just kidding, Carmelo, that poor millionaire. I don't understand why it took so long. Because he signed for the minimum, didn't he?
He signed for the minimum. Mostly they just had to complete the Atlanta deal. And then Atlanta had to come to terms with the waiver for him, and then he had to sign with Houston, and it just took forever because everybody knew pretty much basically since day one that they announced that they were going to get rid of him that he was going to end up in Houston.
Yeah,
people were saying Los Angeles, but Los Angeles only signs good veterans like Michael Beasley and JaVale McGee and Rajon Rondo,
proven
winners.
I mean, those guys together have three championship rings.
That is very, very no four, because JaVale's got two.
Oh, how many? Who else are you talking about? Rondo has one.
Rondo has one. Michael Beasley has the championship of my heart. Tell you what I was thinking? I was thinking Nick Young signed. It was that we also.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little of a different mind about Daryl Morey's strategies, in that I think that it will be, because I think I kind of said before that if this fails that it's sort of the end of Morey ball in a way, which I do sort of think it is, but I do admire also his belief in himself that he's just I just go out and get, in my mind, the best people that I can. He's not doing a ton of, how do I articulate this? By the way, it's 1 a.m. here in Scotland. So my thinking is not so. Acquiring Melo is that kind of the opposite idea of going and finding those, pieces of coal that you polish into a diamond, that are, undervalued in the current mindset, and that you've used analytics to figure out, a kind of player that is really valuable that you can get cheaper than anybody else. So getting Melo is kind of I'm getting a player that people would pick on NBA 2K, and I'm going to just try to figure out how it works. And so it's more of a challenge on the back end of let's see if me and D'Antoni can figure out a way to like actually fit him into a system.
And so, you know, I mean, part of the, I think the interesting thing about this is that there are more than one way to find a market inefficiency, right? There's always going to be more than one way. And maybe their market inefficiency is that they can figure out how to convince Carmelo to play less like Carmelo did last year and more like Carmelo does on those Olympic teams. That's like in the best case scenario, if we're just saying Carmelo comes off the bench as the sixth man. All right. He scores 12 to 15 points a game and he grabs 8 rebounds a game and he closes the game with their starting unit as somebody who can just stand outside and knock down a 3-point shot. If the ball comes
and to get a free throw, if he needs to.
Exactly.
And also, there's sort of a two-pronged way to look at this, because I do think it's a market inefficiency if you get Carmelo Anthony for the veterans minimum.
Definitely.
There's no way to say that's not a good deal. So they are definitely getting value out of the money that they're paying for him.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of it, though, is sort of like, regardless of salaries, does this actually like make the team better? And that I think is a more complex issue that we probably won't know till like halfway through the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the good thing is he's going to get the full training camp. You know, he's going to be able to get in there and see what they're expecting from him. And he's going to be able to, you know, have the time to think about, okay, well, am I going to actually allow this to happen? Am I going to be able to accept my role as somebody who is less important than he used to be?
When you just stated your vision of him getting did you say that was as a second unit player?
Second unit player, yeah. Somebody who comes off the bench, somebody who puts in 25 to 30 minutes a game.
Right, but gets to finish the games.
Gets to finish the games, yeah. You know, like the big famous sixth man trope from basketball history. You know, there's that starter who you put in there for defense, but he can't be trusted to score at the end of the game, or, you know, whatever. Maybe that's the role that Carmelo can fit in. And, you know, maybe some games he'll not be feeling it and they're going to put him on the bench. But, you know, best case scenario, he's doing good things all the time. And
so the best case scenario is he like Ginobili's himself.
Yeah. Yeah. But to his strengths, which are creating offense and being able to gather rebounds.
Right. I guess the change in my mindset is right now I'm like, you know what, Daryl? Good luck. Like, it'll be interesting because now you've committed to it. So, like, let's see if you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I mentioned on our last episode that I'm not still totally convinced that the Harden-Chris Paul thing was like, it is crystallized into a like working relationship that can succeed in year two.
Because
like, there's always the like delicate first year when like, you know,
everybody's playing nice.
You're trying to make it work.
Okay. So you think that maybe in year two, the things that were bad are going to get magnified and they're not going to be happy about it and they're going to fight about it and it's not going to work as well.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, I do think Chris Paul has a history of wearing out teammates.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I'll just be interested to see how, like, if in the first 10 games Carmelo agrees to come off the bench, that's a huge victory for the Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
So in that sense, we will kind of know right away if he's, you know, because there is some kind of ego thing attached to that. It's not something I really can relate to, but especially if you're still getting 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
But there is that like prestige factor of being the starter, being the guy that gets announced by the, you know, PA guy.
Yeah.
But
now you're in your fourth city and you sign for the veterans minimum and, you know, who knows, you know, whether or not he can keep that facade going in his mind that he's amazing, because it's a bummer because you want him to be able to accept what he can do and what he can't do,
right?
And you know, I think it's better for his team if he can do that. But it's a hard thing to do, and I don't envy the task that they have ahead of them in Houston this year. That's going to be a tough. It's going to feel tough because their games are so grindy. Their expectations are so high that it doesn't feel like there's going to be a fun year ahead of them in Houston.
Yeah, and also this doesn't make the offense any less grindy.
No, not in the least. There's no offense that Carmelo has been in the last 5 years that's really flowed.
It increases the upsurge of triple threat position jab steps on the Rockets. Like the number of jab steps that are going to happen on the Rockets between like the three of them is going to be probably the highest in the history.
Yeah, they actually their next signing is going to be Nick Kroll's character from Uncle Drew, just jab steps all day.
I still have not seen that.
When you get classic. Back here, you can get it on Redbox because I'm sure it'll be there by then.
Well, I was going to say when I get back, I can watch it on MoviePass, but I don't think MoviePass will still exist by the time I get home.
Hot news, MoviePass will exist. It'll just be not as good as it used to be.
By the way, on a lark, I bought $50 of MoviePass stock when it was 11 cents.
Yeah.
And then they did a reverse stock split. Yes. And my $50 is worth like $1.75 now.
Yeah. It's funny they call it a reverse stock split. Shouldn't they call it a stock join? Like a stock togetherness? Like stock molding, melting, and forging?
It was a thing that I didn't even know existed, which is basically like, we're going to do this trick so we don't get delisted.
Yeah.
Because when the stock is 11 cents, which is what it was when I purchased it, you know, your rational thinking is like, well, there's very little room for this to go down.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's the potential for like your money going completely away seems limited. And then they did the stock meld, as you would say. Which gave them a whole new higher stock price, got them out of you know, danger of being delisted, but also gave them a whole new runway to like lower stock price.
Honestly, though, I think they should do another reverse stock split until they have just one stock.
Uh huh.
That's what they need to do. Is they need to make sure that it's just one
down
stock
to zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who needs stocks? Hey, tell you what, though, you lost $50 over the course of, what was that, 3 or 4 months?
Like a month.
Okay, see, I lost $200 in the course of 15 minutes at the blackjack tables when I was in Vegas.
Oh, Lord. Hey, listen, I do want to say this about the Rockets, which is that it doesn't matter what happens with them because they're not going to be in the Western Conference Finals anyway.
Oh, wow.
I think we know who will be there to face Golden State.
Absolutely.
And it's a team that you're very happy about these days.
Oh, so happy.
You know
the
what?
The Utah Jazz.
Yeah. Hashtag Lake Show. The King is in the lab.
Oh,
I saw
my God.
Photos of him in the Laker gym.
In the gym. He's been in the uniform. He's all over his Instagram. Nobody loves this jersey more than LeBron James. And that's making me so happy.
It still seems not real. When I see the photos,
yeah,
it still looks like photoshopped projections of what would happen.
I mean, part of that, and I think that, you know, this is what we'll talk about for a little bit, is the new jerseys, right? The jerseys are new. We're not used to looking at them. Okay. And they're fresh.
Tell me about this jersey.
Okay, so they got three jerseys. They got the icon, the association, and the city. So the icon is their normal yellow jersey. That's their, like, we'll wear this when somebody else is wearing white. Mm. So, and it is sharp. It looks really good. It looks a lot like those Showtime jerseys that Magic would wear, but just kind of with a more updated, more kind of modern sensibilities with the striping and with the fit. It's really cool looking. Then you got the association, and every team has an association jersey. It's a white jersey. Before, these used to be called Home and Away, but then Nike got the contract and they changed the names and made it very confusing for everybody.
Well, back in the day, it was always like when you're home, you wear a white jersey.
Yes, correct. And the Lakers would wear yellow. So the Lakers had their yellow and purple jerseys. And then they had
you wear the lighter
of
your two colors, basically.
Yes, correct.
And now it's just like there's no rules.
No rules. The only rule is that the home team decides.
Ah.
So the home team decides what they're wearing, and then the other team has to adjust to change that. And so the white jersey looks really good. The purple jersey, however, kind of a misfire, in my opinion. It's purple, ooh, but they've got striping on the sides, kind of down the entire sides under the arms. And the striping is black.
Hmm.
It's a purple and black jersey.
With, you know,
the gold trim and the white trim as well. It's just not a good look.
Similar to the realization that I had a couple months ago that actually, like, KD and LeBron and them are actually, like, shoe company employees. And the, you know, basketball is what helps them market their shoe businesses. Because yeah, they make way, I think, way more money from Nike and all that than they do from...
I can believe it for the two of them, yes. I don't think anybody else has contracts that are that big, but yeah, for the two of them, yes.
But similar to that, I think it's quite possible that Casey Lawrence is using this podcast as actually a Jersey Talk podcast. And that there's like just basketball news, just enough basketball news to sustain the Jersey Talk.
All right, I have a Jersey.
But
jersey
I love it. I love hearing all about it.
Here's my Jersey hot take. The rules of what kind of jersey you can buy for a player. If a player's on a one-year contract, you can only buy a jersey.
Okay.
Okay, if a player's on a two-year contract or 2 years left on their contract, you can buy a replica jersey, which is the lowest tier of the Nike jersey.
Right.
If they're on a three-year contract, you can buy a swingman jersey, which is the middle tier. And if they're on that full four-year contract, you can buy an authentic, all right? And the prices on those are the jerseys are like $30 and the replicas are like $70 and the swingman is like $110 and the authentic is like $220.
Okay, first of all, I just understood what word you were saying when you said jersey.
Jersey. It's a shirt that has the number and the name of a player that you like.
Yes.
Because so my buddy wants to buy a fucking Rondo jersey, and I'm out of my mind insane as to how bad of an idea that is.
Yeah, I have a Jason Collins jersey.
Hell yeah.
So is authentic like ostensibly like this is what we wear to play in?
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
And how many authentic jerseys do you own?
Zero.
I own none.
And my big goal this year is to change that with my rules that I made for myself on jersey buying and get a LeBron authentic.
Oh, man. Am I going to have to get one of these two?
I mean, you know, if we're going to match for our team photos.
That's right. So which one would you get?
I would get the yellow.
Okay. That's the icon.
I'd get the icon. I'd get the yellow. And the reason I'd get the yellow is because I've got a purple jersey already from the past. And I've had white ones, and the white ones get so dirty. And like...
Oh, sorry. Let me take this opportunity to pivot slightly and say again how bad the writing on the Ringer is.
Okay, all right. Because
there was an article 2 days ago about, and the title was like, are we even sure the Lakers are going to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
And they do these clickbaity titles because they know Lakers content gets clicks, and they know that you know, getting Laker fans mad gets clicks.
So often
shunt that off into like a editorial assistant to write, and the rationales just are so bad, and like it's just the produces these horrible articles. But basically this one was also a similarly dumb one that was just like here's these sort of weird, it's basically like a term paper that ends like you do in junior high school, and you end it with like, you know, A is true or B could be true, which one will be true only time can tell. That's basically what the article was.
Chris, listen, we are just trying to ask questions, okay? We're just here. We're just asking questions. And truthfully, you know, nobody loves to rile up Los Angeles fans other than Los Angeles's own Bill Simmons, who has lived in Los Angeles for 15 years now. It's like, come on, buddy.
Dedicated Celtics fan.
I mean, you know, his dad's got season tickets, so, you know, he can go to the games whenever he wants.
The guy... Who loves to harp on how like he feels that you know Boston should have won that the 2010 series because what's his name went down. Was it because Perkins went down? Kendrick Perkins? Did he go out of the series?
Yeah, full squat. You know, they lost because Perkins couldn't play. Right. And they didn't have anybody to back him up, you know, like Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, if you want to see how dumb that argument is, go look at Rasheed Wallace's stats, like, after he went in for Kendrick Perkins. Anyway, that I read a really stupid Ringer article about whether or not, like... And it was one of those things that was using arguments in, like, very twisted ways, which was, like, you know, Las Vegas already has their doubts about the Lakers. In fact, they've only got them rated as an over-under of 48.5 wins. Now, that does happen to be the fourth best over-under that they've listed for the Western Conference. But, you know, and it's like, oh, so they're not that doubtful about the Lakers if they have them coming in fourth in the West. And also, it's very difficult to use that data point as something to suggest that Las Vegas doesn't think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. So it's that kind of, like, that's the kind of awful, dare I say it, blog boy writing.
That I wow. You're going to throw blog boy back in their face.
I mean,
I had somebody text
t-shirt
me
out
and
of it, I think.
Tell me that you were a blog boy.
Oh.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I'm not going to name names other than Andrew, but you know, we'll see what happens.
What's the definition of it?
Can I be completely honest with you?
Yeah.
I have no fucking idea.
I mean, I would say the definition is like, you know, an armchair basketball analyst who blog boy, I would suggest, like, has an implication of you're more of a analytics nerd. Like
I'm literally sitting in an armchair right now. Like, my arms are on the side of the armrests in my armchair. So
there you go.
That makes me a blog boy, I guess.
I think that the connotation is somebody who, like, has never played sports. That's kind of a nerd that goes to the Sloan Conference.
That
comes up with hot takes in the Ringer or, you know, whatever. And so I guess I would qualify as one of those. I would say I'm more of a hater.
Okay, yeah. A hater and a blog boy meet in the middle of a street at midnight. No cars are around. Do they fight with their fists or with their words?
Neither, because the surgeon is his mother.
Ah, yeah, okay. That's the exact call. And the block of ice melted and it left no puddle because it was too hot.
What's the start of that one? I've heard the block of ice one.
That's like there's a person.
Wait, you've been doing a lot of, like, tests where people
I have been doing a ton of logic tests.
I would say the difference is I think blog boy is a derogative term. And I actually don't mind if someone levels it at me because it's probably true from their perspective. But I guess there's no way to really couch it in a way that doesn't include me. I would say that, like, it's a thing that is, like, I would say that a blog boy likes to come up with hot takes that are sort of deliberately provocative and then tries to support them. So
with evidence like an over underline from Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, like, I mean, but I'm probably guilty of that, too.
Oh, I'm so guilty.
But I also feel like, you know what? I also feel like it doesn't matter. I was going to say, like, because you and I are not really dependent on clickbait, you know, success for our careers.
Not at all. No.
I would say we definitely have questionable hot takes, but they're not, they don't feel, I feel like sometimes on the web, they feel cynically driven. To be like, you know what? Like, I mean, what's his name? Fucking Hardware Paroxysm does this. And he knows he does this, which is, like, he knows his tweets that mention the Lakers do 30 times better than his normal NBA tweets.
Yeah.
So if he wants to get engagement, every 6 weeks he can just say something shitty about Lonzo and, like, then his timeline gets filled up. Mm-hmm. And whether or not he wants to say, you know, that that's, like, an intentional thing, it's helping his business.
Yeah.
Whereas we don't have a business.
No, I mean, not yet until we launch the podcast network that we've been thinking about.
That's right. Which is, you know, technically this podcast is on the same network as the network that, my husband and I have a theater podcast on. So you can see we're, you know, slicing a very thin demographic of people.
Yeah. Yes. 100%.
It's a very slim Venn diagram that would listen to like all the podcasts on this network. But how are you feeling generally, not just about the jerseys, but like LeBron wise?
Oh my God. I'm so happy. I'm just so goddamn happy. That's how I feel.
Where was he on your favorite current players list before he signed?
I mean, he was probably top five.
Right.
Right? And, like, he's somebody who I appreciate as a player, as a person, as, you know, in general, I'm you know, never, and I've, you know, I like his game. I like a lot of things about LeBron. So,
right.
Just to like, see him be so excited to be a Laker has just, it's got me so excited.
And that does feel genuine, his like his relationship to like the mystique of being a Laker.
Yes.
So that's that's fascinating to me as someone who's like a top 10 legendary player still sort of like looking up to this institution.
Yeah.
And having it like mean something when he's already like, you know, been to the top of the mountain.
It's pretty great, and I love that Josh Hart already started teasing him on the Instagram.
Oh, I didn't see that. What did he do?
They had a picture of LeBron up on the Lakers account, and Josh Hart commented, "Why does it look like he's wearing a dress, though?" And the shirt he was wearing under his shirt kind of looked a little bit like a dress. It's just great. It's so good.
I wonder if LeBron will. I wonder how he's going to affect the. We do have the side worry that like the new veterans are going to affect the development of the young players by just taking away playing time.
Yes,
but there's also a like, will he improve the young players' approach and work ethic for the better?
Yeah,
just like by sort of being there, and by all accounts being like an extremely hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
And also someone who's very, I believe, like, regimented about, like, diet and recovery and getting sleep and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, things that are very important to him.
Right, which might have a good, you know, effect on, say, someone who's very tall and thin and might need to work out more.
Like Brandon Ingram. Or, like, yeah. Somebody who needs to maybe stay off Instagram a little bit during the season and... you know, stop joking around about everything, or stop recording rap songs on the airplane. You know, Kuz and Zoe.
Or stop playing Fortnite all the time.
yeah. Ooh boy. It's, yeah. Oh, Fortnite.
Fortnite's going to be, like, one of the dividing lines between, like, late millennials and, like, high school kids.
Are you familiar with Dan Nainan?
No.
He's the quote unquote millennial comedian, but he's like 60 now, and he does clean comedy. He's awful. He's horrible. But he's trying to connect with the kids in comedy, and Bill Simmons is trying to connect with the kids on Fortnite.
Have you
seen that he like streams Fortnite on the Ringer Twitch channel now?
Oh God,
it's miserable. It's so awful. I cannot even begin to describe you how not fun it is, and that to me kind of makes it fun a little bit, which is right. The worst part.
It goes all the way around and then it's enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely.
Because one of the clips on Reddit today was Gordon Hayward on Fortnite talking about whether he thought KD or LeBron was harder to guard. And it was a singularly uninsightful quote that they had pulled. Mm-hmm. He was just like, mm-hmm. I think KD's harder, but when LeBron puts his shoulder down, he's really hard to guard too. Cool. That's the kind of blinding insight you get when you watch Gordon Hayward's Fortnite stream.
Yeah, definitely.
The only thing more boring? CJ McCollum's pull up
podcast. I was gonna say it would probably be more boring to watch Gordon Hayward play League of Legends, because League of Legends is awfully boring as well.
Oh well, I played Dota too.
See,
which is also probably equally boring to people who don't play it. And I believe Jeremy Lin plays that.
Yes, Jeremy does play Dota. You'll see him at the International. You know, he's somebody who goes and watches and does commentary.
That's right. CJ McCollum. What was I going to say about him? Oh, no. I was going to say, I'm sure I've ranted about this before, but a similarly disappointingly boring podcast is the Woj podcast.
Yeah, we've talked about how Woj is somebody. Hey, you don't like Zach Lowe's podcast. You don't like Woj's podcast.
God, I don't like anybody's podcast.
Do you like our podcast? What did
you know what? I'm going to start a second podcast that rants about this podcast.
That's very, very real and very true.
But the weird thing is, you're also going to co-host that one.
Yeah, but I oh man, have I got a rant for that one?
Can I give you my side topic?
Yes.
Okay. This came up while I was randomly reading Reddit the other day to try to catch up. How did this come up? It came up because I believe it did the Atlanta Hawks officially make a Dwight Howard jersey, or
they made a Carmelo jersey.
Oh, I'm sorry, a Carmelo jersey. Separate topic. So yes, I did see that. And separate topic, someone on Reddit said, did the Wizards have a good offseason or not? Because they got rid of Gortat, they got Austin Rivers, and they got Dwight Howard.
And don't forget they got Jeff Green.
Jeff Green. Jeff Green was on
Cleveland.
Okay. It's Gerald Green that's on the Rockets.
Gerald Green's on the Rocket, yeah.
Okay. So this is my side topic, because it came up in that thing. Dwight Howard, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay, make your case.
Dwight Howard was the most dominant big man for 5 years in the league, and he's had a career that has been nothing short of spectacular in the first three quarters of it, and the last quarter of his career has been not great, but just fine. And I think he's had a tail that's the tail end of his career that could compare to any big man in the Hall of Fame right now. It's not all championships to get into the Hall of Fame. Otherwise, you know, the Hall of Fame wouldn't have half of the people that are in it. And I think that Dwight Howard is somebody whose basketball achievements place him in the first ballot Hall of Famer, just from being, was he a two-time MVP?
Was he? Jesus. How many defensive players of the years did he get?
I think he's got three.
Two or three. So I agree with all that. I actually think those are all great reasons.
Yeah.
The main reason I think he might not be is I think people hate him.
Yeah, yes, 100%. The only reason is because he says dumb shit and he's the worst. That's the hard thing, right? That's not a basketball thing. That's just a personal thing. That's the reason why Terrell Owens wasn't a first ballot football Hall of Famer.
Yes. And he must also not just say dumb things in public. He must say things that his teammates don't like, because he leaves a trail of teammates that are just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I didn't like that guy.
I was wrong. He was never MVP, but he was three-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Ah, there you go. Someone compared his... he has a better career, but I was surprised to find out that Ben Wallace is not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Also surprised... I guess this is a thing people talk about all the time, but Sidney Moncrief is not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Which is surprising. And the next biggest name that I thought, currently eligible that isn't in yet, is borderline for me, was Sean Marion.
Yeah.
Because he has a ton of, pretty convincing stats, but then I believe they're sort of discounted because they're like, well, Steve Nash got you those stats.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, he had a good career after Nash too, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, they came up in the Reddit thread that I was reading. It's like somebody was like, well, he's clearly a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think when you look at it, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. But when you just say the phrase Dwight Howard is a first ballot Hall of Famer, it sticks in your ear a little wrong. Like,
it certainly does.
It's certainly within the realm of possibility that the NBA Hall of Fame voting has some pettiness in it.
Yeah, it definitely does. Do you know how hard it was for me to say all those nice things about Dwight Howard? Do you know just how much it hurts me in my heart to know that Dwight Howard has made me say nice things about him? God, I hate Dwight Howard so much. It really hurt me. You really hurt me. And I'm looking at the audio waveform on my computer of me saying those hurtful things, and just like real mad. I'm gonna have a huge talk on that other podcast about
on the other one. This is gonna be their opening rant on the second, which will be called the Rule of Fours.
Because that's how the joke goes.
Yep. I mean, everyone knows joke structure. The way you heighten it is just by doing it one more time.
It just, the intro song for that podcast is just a remix of what's his face? Paul Pierce's best buddy, Antoine Walker, saying, because there are no fours. No fours. Because there are no fours. No fours.
Or the remix that you want, for, like the theme song for that podcast is a remix of the theme song for this podcast.
Got it. Yes, exactly. Which we definitely have, and we're putting in this episode.
Oh, yeah. You know, multiplying by zero equals zero.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so anyway, it was interesting. I hadn't really thought of his career in that sort of way. And I think there is definitely a recency bias. But yeah, when you stack it up, it's just that like he was sort of dominating in this time where like he went to the finals the one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people thought that was going to happen again. Like I thought it was a little bit like, you know, we're sort of beginning, you know, the Dwight Howard era a little bit.
I mean, is this his best chance to go to the finals since then?
It's certainly better than LA, right?
Yeah. Better than Houston.
It's certainly better than LA if you refuse to play pick and roll with the greatest pick and roll point guard of all time.
Yeah. I'm sorry. When you say the greatest pick and roll point guard of all time, do you mean Steve Nash's backup, Jordan Farmar, or whoever the fuck the backup was on that team? Because Nash was injured all year.
Yeah, but even in practice, he didn't want to do the pick and roll.
Why practice Farmar it when you can do it in the game? I forget who the backup on that team was. Was it Farmar? Because that team, God, that team was ridiculous.
Was it?
I thought they brought him back. Sasha was never a point guard. I just can't remember if they either brought him back from somewhere else or,
was it, the white guy from Maryland?
Steve Blake. It was definitely him? Steve Blake. It was 100% Steve Blake.
Who I like too. Good I like call. Him as well.
Yeah. The point guards on that team were Steve Blake, Chris Duhon, Darius Morris, and Steve Nash.
Oh boy, Chris Duhon. Just like for me, the epitome of a like, what is that one stat? That's the PER. Like Chris Duhon is just like 15 or whatever. Like right,
he's a replacement player, baby.
Yeah.
And don't forget that was Robert Sacre's rookie year. So.
Oh my god. Is he still in the league?
No. No.
I don't know.
He never played for any other team other than the Lakers.
Oh. Well.
Did that make you sad?
I mean, I feel... I don't know. I guess I don't need to feel bad for him. He's probably a millionaire. And he's doing just fine. You know, I the cast,
I mean,
for my
barely
play
a
here.
Millionaire. He only ever made $3 million in his career. So he's probably not a millionaire anymore. Yeah, total. Because he was a rookie on a second round contract.
Yeah, so if he made $3 million, he gave away, like, you know, 30%, 40% in commissions and taxes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take that long to blow through that kind of money. I mean,
no.
I know all of us would be like, oh, you know, that position of like, oh, I'd never squander it away. But, you know, it's pretty easy to squander away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why that. I was going to say, my cast for the show that I'm producing out here in Scotland is very tall. The guys are very tall. The shortest guy is like an inch taller than me, and the tallest guy is much, much taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a near millionaire, but to be having the money sort of run out and you're extremely tall, actually doesn't sound that great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at those are heights that become sort of impractical.
Mm.
So that's my little Robert. That'll I can elaborate more about that on my Sacri podcast. You know, we didn't do a podcast for a little while, and as in the times that I was able to check into news, I was a little bit like, oh, not a ton is going on right now.
Yeah, there's not a ton. A lot of the stuff that's going on. The big news recently has been the release of the schedule.
Oh.
Schedule's been released. National games are on TNT, ESPN, ABC. Right? Those are the games that anybody can get. Guess which team has the most games?
National
on TNT, ESPN, and ABC combined.
The Lakers?
The Lakers with 32.
That is so not surprising.
And they have 10 more games that are going to be on NBA TV. So fully over half of their games are going to be televised on the national channels.
Okay, wait. Does this fuck with our ability to see the shows, see the games somehow?
No. So it does not. Unless you don't have the ability to get to any four of those channels. Basically, it makes it easier for people to not have to have Spectrum.
Right. That's the main thing I'm asking. Because so then can I get away with NBA League Pass?
So this will not affect League Pass. This is just like any of these games will not be on League Pass. I mean, anyways, if you're in LA as a Lakers fan and you're on League Pass, all those games are blacked out anyways.
Right. But what it means is, instead of having to have cable Spectrum, I might be able to like have ABC and
YouTube TV.
Right, I'm able to just YouTube TV like
42 of the games.
Right. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's not bad. And the teams with the least number of games, tied at the bottom. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams with one nationally televised game.
Okay. New Orleans.
No. New Orleans has 13.
What? Oh, wait. Davis. I'm sorry. Not New Orleans. I forgot about Anthony Davis. Let's see. Detroit?
Detroit has 4. Don't forget they have Blake Griffin.
Oh. Memphis?
Memphis. That is one of the teams.
How many are there?
There's 6, so you have 5 more.
There's a lot of like
yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't say Phoenix because they have Devin Booker, but it's Phoenix.
And they have the number one, and they have the number one draft pick. So Phoenix is not one of them.
Sacramento?
Sacramento, that's number 2.
Okay. Atlanta.
Atlanta, number 3.
Ooh. This feels like I'm accessing a like a bad part of myself.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm like reversing how I look for interesting things.
Exactly.
Let's see. Most of the teams, I can think of something interesting about them that I would want to see.
Yeah.
So I have to think about the teams that I have no interest in whatsoever. Orlando.
That's another one. You got 2 more.
Let's see. Miami people like Dwayne Wade.
Correct. But he's not playing for them yet.
What about Cleveland?
Cleveland? No, they have two. Just barely off the radar.
Oh, because they might re-sign Booby.
Booby Gibson.
Yeah. Did Channing Frye go back there?
Channing Frye did go back there.
God. Is Miami one of the one team?
No, Miami's got five.
Okay, well, I got four of them, right?
You got four of them. There's only two left. Ooh. They're both in the Eastern Conference.
Okay. There's no way it's Toronto. It's not Boston.
No.
It's not. Let's see.
Basically, it's just who are the two worst teams that are left in the Eastern Conference.
Wow. I'm having trouble even thinking of who's in the Eastern Conference. I mentioned Atlanta. I mentioned Orlando. I mentioned Miami. We mentioned Cleveland. Detroit. Mentioned Boston. It can't be Philly. It can't be Boston.
It's not Philly. It's not Boston.
Okay.
Philly and Boston are tied at 27 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
Washington?
No. Washington's got 8 games. They still got John Wall.
And the Pacers are not one of the worst teams in the
league. Pacers are not. They got 12 games.
I think I'm stumped.
You got it. You talked about whose jersey do you have?
Oh, the Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets. They're one of them.
Well, that's that's interesting because it's clearly not by market size then.
No, it's not by it. It's by the fact that they're fucking awful.
Right.
And then one last team, and they've got some sweet jerseys, got some sweet starter jackets, and a sweet jean-wearing owner.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I don't know. Is it
their,
the main?
Their owner wears terrible jeans. He's so famous for wearing terrible jeans.
Is he really?
Yes. That's like, if anything, people clown on this guy for wearing terrible jeans all the time. That's not the most famous thing about him, but it's the most famous thing about his clothing.
The Bulls?
No.
No. I don't know who.
But he is famous for being associated with the Bulls.
Oh man. I know someone.
Who's the most famous Bulls player of all time?
Oh my God, Charlotte.
Yes.
Do they have no players of interest?
Yeah, I mean they have Kemba Walker, and then.
Oh God! So the answer is no.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not somebody who's going to sit here and say that Kemba Walker can't blow my mind on some amazing plays, but just like I'll catch those highlights. And they got Bismack Biyombo back, so that's good times are rolling.
Oh God, poor Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's so funny that so many of those teams were the teams that were involved with the Dwight Howard trade this offseason, or teams that have been involved with Dwight Howard in the past. Right. Orlando, Charlotte, and Brooklyn. Like, all three of those teams have one game, and they all have Dwight Howard involved with their life. Oh, in Atlanta, they had Dwight Howard. Yep. Dwight Howard, man, he leaves the trail.
And you shall know us by the trail of the dead.
Yes, exactly. Great band. Great band.
Great band. Not a great career path for Dwight Howard.
Tough. Real tough.
The name of our third podcast will be Fuck Dwight Howard. Nobody likes you, and it hurts us to compliment you.
There are already three podcasts named exactly that.
Yeah.
And they're cooking podcasts. It's just so
perfect. Yeah, they just go procedurally through recipes, and then occasionally just say Fuck Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. What else? Do we need to catch up on anything else?
I'm sure there'll be something, but we'll be able to talk about it hopefully when the schedule cools down. I mean, you're back in a week, right?
Yes. So I am today. I'm recording on a Friday. I probably will be back on a week from today is probably the latest I will be back. Amazingly, I have still not purchased my ticket back from Europe, but I'm going to be using air miles to get it, so I've been keeping an eye on the prices, and they're not that crazy. If I was to buy a ticket cash right now, it would be like $1,500 one way.
Woo!
But luckily, I've got miles. So
yeah.
But yeah, I think I have the capability to record it again. So I would think we should leave it just in case something gigantic happens.
Yeah.
You know, like something more noteworthy than Kawhi Leonard thanking everybody in a tweet. I don't know if you saw that, but he put out his letter thanking everybody.
It was very, very nice for Kawhi.
It's very nice. Not really worth talking about in any way.
No.
So if something big, we can record again, or we can do it when I get home to the States.
Great, sounds good to me.
Well, I'm very happy to catch up. I'm happy to hear about how happy you are about LeBron. Oh,
so happy.
And you know, I've lamented before, it's going to be very hard for us to get tickets now to see him.
Yes.
But I feel confident that at some point this season we'll get to see him. And you know, I think it would be great if you were wearing an authentic LeBron jersey at that point.
Me too. Now I just got to get the flyweights and the dumbbells to get my biceps up to LeBron level.
Yeah. I do want to start working out when I get home. First of all, I got that Jeremy Lin jersey, which I think is a swingman, is what I bought.
Yes. Yes, it is.
What team is he on now? Atlanta?
Atlanta, yes.
Okay. Oh, God. So, but, you know, to start off our physical fitness when I get home, we got to do that. Houston Rockets, three-point challenge.
Three-point challenge. You are on. You are on. We are going to do this, and I swear to you, I will not miss 27 in a row.
I will not swear to that. It's very possible that I will.
Oh, well, I've been practicing.
Have you?
No, I haven't. I just played Papa Shot when I was in San Francisco.
Oh, well.
You know, I scored 88 right points. It was good. I did really good.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, it does seem what is his first name? It's so late here that I can't remember Seth Curry's brother's first name. Steph.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why you couldn't get to Michael Jordan so quickly.
Yeah. Steph Curry feels like he plays Papa Shot. So I feel like you were just kind of Steph Currying that situation.
Oh, definitely. In his hometown, his adopted, soon to be adopted hometown, because they're moving the stadium in a couple of years.
Oh, they're moving to, out of Oakland to
out of San Oakland Francisco. To San Francisco. So
yeah,
just keeping the seat warm for you, Steph.
All right. Casey, this was awesome.
Yeah.
To the fans of this podcast, you know, you might have missed the theme song that we put in at the beginning, but it was there. Trust me. Don't go back and play it.
No. Listen to this podcast at 1 a.m. in the morning so you forget that it wasn't there, because it was there.
Oh, it definitely was there. I mean, yeah. If it was taken out, it might have, maybe iTunes took it out.
That's what they do. iTunes does it.
All right, man. I'll see you next time.
Sounds great. Catch you later.
Bye.